on the mystery of confession. The word confession means to say the same thing as. Sometimes we don't realize how important it is to say what God says. We have things going on in our life, and we fail to realize that the things that are going on in our life is a result of what we've been saying. So if we want to change the way things are, we have to change the way we are talking. We have to change what we say. The power of confession, or the principle of confession. It's something that has to come to a believer by revelation. Now, I've titled it the mystery of confession. And a mystery is what? It's something that you can't just know through human comprehension. There's something in the Bible called wisdom and knowledge, but it's above the knowledge or the wisdom of the world. And so you can't just be a casual inquirer, but you've got to come and receive the revelation of confession. It's a powerful thing. And so I want you to go to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Let's begin to look at this. Every time I get through with 1 week, I think, well, that's it. But then the Lord shows me some more things. And since it's such a powerful message that you really need to learn in your Christian walk, and how that you can change the circumstances by speaking the Word of God. Amen. The circumstances have to change. Because sometimes we speak out of what we see. We speak because of what we are going through, instead of speaking the Word of God. And if we don't speak the Word of God, then the circumstances or the things that we're going through won't change. I'm reminded, before I look at Mark chapter 4 just a minute, of that centurion that came to Jesus. He came to Jesus one day and he said, "My servant lieth at home with the palsy." Had a nervous disorder. And Jesus said, "I'll go and I'll heal your servant." But the centurion said what? He said, "No, you don't have to go to my house. Just speak the word only." Say, "Speak the word only." And you know what? His servant was healed that self same hour. So there's something behind speaking the word of God. Now in Mark chapter 4, have you found that? Look at verse 14 just a moment. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "The sower sows the word." What word? The word of God. Say, "The word of God." Now where is the word of God sown? The word of God is sown into our hearts. So when we talk about sowing the word, we're talking about sowing God's word into our heart. Because our heart becomes the receptacle where we develop an inner image of not only who we are in God, but what the word of God will do for us. So when we talk about sowing the word, we're talking about finding a word from God. And then we're talking about letting that word develop in our spirit man so that it can come into manifestation. Now what happens when the word of God comes into my spirit? I just told you, but let's look at it again. Look at verse 26. It says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how." Did you see that? You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know exactly how the word works. All you need to know is that it works. That's what he's telling you there, okay? It says, "The earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, And after that, the full grain that's in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately, say immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So we have to wait on the harvest. We know the word will produce a harvest. But look what it says. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, or we could say sown in our heart, because that's really what Jesus is illustrating through the parable, it's smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes what? Becomes what? Greater than all the herbs. Now listen to this. You know, what's Jesus teaching us here? Well, I can remember when I first came into the kingdom of God, I didn't understand or have the right image on the inside of me, much less who I was in Christ or the authority that my words had when I spoke them. And I remember I would say things like, well, you know, every year about this time, because they're saying it on TV and they're saying it through the advertisements, it's cold and flu season. I said, yeah, every year I seem to catch a bad cold. Just every year, I catch myself. Now, I'm talking about before I knew better, Lars. Amen. I would say things. I know you don't say those kind of things. But see, I would say, well, you know, I have at least one bad cold every year. And I didn't realize that I was creating on the inside of me an image that would allow that to come to pass. Because the Word of God says you will have what you say. And so as I matured and became a little older in the Lord, I discovered that really you do have what you say, so you better be careful what you say. Amen. And not only that, but you better be mindful of what you listen to and what you hear. See, because when I get into trouble, I don't need to hear what people have to say. I don't need to hear what the world wants to counsel me in their ungodliness. But I need a living word from God. A living word from the Lord. Because if I say what God says, then God backs His word by His power. Verse 24 says this. It says, take heed. Here it goes. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. So I discovered it becomes important who I listen to. It becomes important who I allow to deposit words into my heart. Because those words are going to produce something. My heart is the seedbed. It is the receptor. And you know, in computer talk or computer language, garbage in equals garbage out. And how many know, if you let things speak into your life, and you don't choose to what you hear. What he's talking about here is that you've got to measure everything that you hear. You've got to measure it by the Word of God. And you have to understand that as you grow up in the things of God, you've got to de-weed your garden. You've got to get out of your heart all of the negative things, all of the bad seed that has been planted there through words that have been spoken to you in your life. And as you begin to grow in the Lord, you realize that you have to be careful what you allow to come into your heart. You have to be careful what you allow spoken over or into your life. That's why you don't just listen to everything. That's why I'm even mindful when I'm listening to Christian television. I mean, I'm not here putting it down. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful because you do not want some unbelief planted in your heart. You have to work diligently. You have to work hard in order to de-weed your garden and get all of that junk out of there so that the Word of God can spring forth and cause life-giving to you. And the last thing you want to do is put some junk in there that's going to grow up and choke the Word of God in your heart. Now, you can go back and you can read, of course, all of Mark chapter 4, and that's really what he talks about, talking about, you know, the condition of our soil, or really the condition of our heart. Because, you know, there's all kinds of things that are said. Somebody say, well, Pastor, you know, we have to, we can't win them all. Sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. Yeah, and Good Time Charlie sings the blues. But we need to go to the Word of God and see if that's accurate. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you got it, say, I found it. No, not all of you got it. Come on. I want you to see this. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says what? Now thanks be to God who sometimes leads us to triumph in Christ. Always. What?
Always.
Did I misread that? I sure did, didn't I? Now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ. Always. What does always mean to you? Then turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe. And look at verse 57. But thanks be to God who sometimes gives us the victory. No. See, some of y'all, you got to look at this thing, because you'll just take what I say is gospel. No. What does it say? But thanks be to God who sometimes gives us the victory. I'm just trying to get you to focus in on words, okay? What happened to sometimes we win and sometimes we lose? That's not the word. Who are we going to believe? Because God is what? True. And let every man a liar. I'm just trying to get you to understand that there's going to be things that sound cute, but not everything that's good to you is good for you. Y'all need to get a hold of this. Y'all are not helping me this morning at all. It is God's plan that you always triumph. It is God's plan that you always win. I said it's God's plan. It's God's plan for you that you always triumph. What does that mean? That means you have victory. Now, here comes another question. Well, what do I do when I mess up? Because we do mess up. What are you going to say? What are you going to say when you goof up or you don't do what you ought to have done and you messed up? Anybody ever messed up? Well, you got to go to the Word of the Lord. Because confession means to say the same thing as God says. When I'm talking about confession, for all you that are a little, you know, you're kind of new to a walk of faith. You know, there's confession. We're talking about where you go and confess your sins to God and get forgiven. But we're not talking about that kind of confession. I mean, no, you need to go to God and confess your sins. But we're talking about a different type of confession. We're talking about homologeo in the Greek. That's a big, long word. It's hard to say. But it means to say exactly the same thing God says. So what are you going to say when you mess up? Are you going to sit there in defeatism? Are you going to sit there in condemnation? Are you going to sit there feeling like you're, you know, just an old dog and you're not worthy and just letting the world continue to cave in on top of you? Or are you going to go to the Word of God? All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 1. Are y'all okay this morning? Okay. When we mess up, now here's the word the Lord gave me, I mean a long time ago, right here in Psalms chapter 1. When you find it, say amen. So I give you time when I'm teaching to find these things. Amen. I'm going to just read the last part of verse 3. And it says, and whatever he does shall prosper. Did you hear what I just said? When I mess up, then I've got to find what God says. I've got to get my confession in line with what God has said. And God has said, whatever I put my hands to do, whatever he does shall prosper. Now, I know sometimes I come short. I know sometimes I mess up. But you see, my confession is that whatsoever I do shall prosper. I keep saying that whatsoever I do shall prosper until the Holy Spirit says, I heard you, and so be it. And so God begins to straighten out the mess, because it's God that's got to straighten out the mess that you made. Amen? And God is well able to straighten out your mess. But he can only honor his word. It's not you. It's the power behind God's word. What we fail to realize in this power of confession, we get to thinking that it's us that's doing it. No, our part is to speak the word of God. His part is to watch over his word to perform it. In other words, when I speak the word, it's not me that's changing things around me, but it's the power of God changing things around me. Do you understand? This principle works for the world. I mean, they have what they say too, but it works on a lower level. It works on a higher level for you and I, because we believe God. We believe that the Word of God is the power of God, and that He upholds all things by the Word of His power. So when we speak things like speak the Word only, we're applying the principle of calling things. Now listen to me. That be not, help me out somebody, as though they were. But here's what you'll hear. Pastor, isn't that lying? How can you be lying when you say what God says? The Bible says, let the poor say, help me, I am rich. It doesn't say let the poor say they're poor. You won't find that in there. It doesn't say not to say you're not poor. It says let the poor say, I am rich. You're applying the principle of calling things that be not as though they were. You're saying what God says so God can perform His word to work in your life. Let the weak say, I am. Don't go around confessing how weak you are. Begin to confess that you're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, this has to be, that's why I say it's a mystery. It goes beyond just comprehension of human knowledge, because the world just looks at you and goes, blah, 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 you know, think that you're just, you know, you're funny. But you know what? It's not so funny when it displays in a manifestation. When they see you walking above and not beneath. When they see themselves catching the coals, and you just spoke the word over it. Amen? Amen. Are you with me today? Yeah. All right. So we gotta get these things down. We have to, because listen, you got to start, and this is important that you see. You got to start saying what God says, because that's what confession means. Amen. Get this out of your head of confessing your sins. You should already confess your sins. Now start finding out what God says about the situation. What God says about the circumstance. And let me just tell you this. Don't wait till it happens to go find a word of God to confess. Don't wait till you're sick and have a 110 degree fever and, you know, trying to inject you with all kind of needles to go find 2 Peter 2:24. Oh, yeah, by His stripes I'm healed. Listen, how many know it's very difficult to pour the concrete when it's raining? How many know it's very difficult to lay the foundation of the house when it's flooding? You've got to get the Word of God on the inside of you so that your foundation is strong. And when the devil comes and when the wind blows, bless God, you're not going to be moved. But you got to practice that. You got to believe that. Amen. It cannot be just head knowledge. It can't be just parrot talk. Parrot, you know, perico, parrot. I want to make sure you didn't think I was saying parent. Because a while ago when she was saying wish list, I thought she was saying witch list. Not a witch list.
Amen.
Wish. Come on, somebody. We start paying attention to the words. I mean, that's why it's difficult. I mean, you're growing up, you know, you don't pay a lot of attention to even the words in a song. How many of you spent a few hours in the cantina in some of the songs that they sing? It didn't bother you at all, did it? You just kind of sang along with them. And that's the way it is a lot of people in church. They don't even notice when there's doubt and unbelief in the songs. I mean, I'm after these guys all the time, and they come up with something new. There's some good songs out, but how many of them, there's some of them that's got doubt and unbelief in them. And we don't want to speak those things and replant those kind of seed in our hearts. We don't want our hearts to become contaminated by the words that we allow to go into our heart. You know, there are going to be people. How many know there are going to be people that talk about you? I said, how many of you know that they're talking about some of you this morning? What in the world are they going down there? What in the world are they going down there again? So there are going to be people talk about you. But you know what? You've got to refocus not on what people say about you, but what God says about you. Because they're going to be people that don't understand you. Let's just face it. They're going to be people, maybe those that are close to you, relatives or whatever. And they're going to talk about you and they're going to say things about you. But see, you've got to block those things from going down into your heart. Amen? You cannot let your heart become the seedbed of those kind of seed to be planted, because they will grow up if you allow them to stay there. So the process is that we get our heart clean. The process is that we learn to diligently guard and measure everything we hear or everything we allow to go down into our spirit. What do we measure it with? We measure it with the Word of God. If God says it, then it's true. If God says it, He will back it from heaven. We operate at a higher level. We operate at a higher power. Now let's see this, okay? Let's go to the book of Judges. Judges. Go in the Old Testament there, back where you were in Psalms, to Judges chapter 6. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm just telling you that God talks about you. God has already said some good things about you. We know He thinks good things, and we know He has good thoughts towards us. Why? Because the Bible tells us. God's not up there talking to Jesus, telling Him how sorry you are and how no good you are. That's the devil. I said, that's the devil trying to intimidate you, trying to get you over into fear. You don't ever feel good when somebody's talking down to you or trying to speak ugly things over your life. Devil's never going to say anything good about you. So all you got to know is when somebody says something ugly about you, just say, I rebuke you, devil. Because you know it didn't come from God. When somebody tells you you're worthless, say, I rebuke you, devil. I'm worth more than you. Jesus shed His blood for me. Died on the cross at Calvary for me. For me. What did He do for you, devil? You still got a footprint on your rear end where you were literally kicked out of the presence of God. The Bible says I can boldly come into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. He can't do that. So he's sore. Everybody say he's a sore loser. He is a sore loser. He can't take anybody to heaven, and he wants to take everybody to hell he can. So here's the book of Judges. You did find it, right? Okay, let's get back to the Judges chapter 6 here. Look at verse 11. See, we're applying the principle of we have what we say, but we're also applying the principle of calling things that be not as though they were. God speaks things about you. They may not have come to a manifestation yet, but he's speaking things about you when you agree with him, because confession is to agree or say the same thing as God says, then God can be ready to perform his word that has been spoken over you. So God always says things about you in advance that he wants to come to pass. Now you've got something on your end. Now look at this. Here's Judges chapter 6. Where do I want to go here? I want to go to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. We're out of time. It says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, or the oak tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abernezrite, and the son of Gideon, threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you. Now here's the Lord speaking to somebody that was so scared out of his boots he was hiding. He said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, I'm sure Gideon said, who? Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? I'm sure you've heard people say that. And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. Well, what does the word of God say? It says the Lord will not forsake us or leave us. Amen. And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. He said, have I not sent you? Well, has the Lord sent you? Yes. He sure has. He gave a great commission, didn't he? He said, verse 15, so he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least or the weakest in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midians as one man. Did you see that? Now, yeah, it's a powerful revelation here, because here's Gideon. I mean, he's saying, look, I am a part of the poorest family of my tribe in Israel. And in my family, I'm the poorest one in it. He said, I am the reject of rejects. I am the lowest on the totem pole. Are you with me? But God spoke what he wanted to come to pass. God spoke what he wanted to come to pass, and Gideon got in line with what God said. And how many know that Gideon defeated the enemy? Gideon defeated the enemy. Now go over to, let me show you another truth here over in 2 Kings. I could spend some time, but I want you to see that. In 2 Kings chapter 7. Okay? See, this is what we live by. The B-I-B-L-E. Are you with me? The Bible. Because God has already spoken his word in heaven. And his word, the Bible says, is forever settled. When God says it, it will come to pass in the heart of those who believe it. Those who believe that they receive. Now here's a famine in the land. Here's disaster. Verse 1 and 2 of 2 Kings. Did you find it? Okay. It says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to speak what he heard from the Lord. He said, thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, he was saying what God said, and here's the truth. When you speak what God says, once you declare what God says, it puts God's word to work, or it puts God's power that's in God's word to work on your behalf. And the next day, how many know, it came to pass. If you read the next verse, it says, so an officer whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you will not partake or you will not eat of it. Ho, 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 ho. Listen, a lot of people are going to see the hand of God move, but they're not going to be partakers of it because they didn't believe in it. Thus who believe will receive. Thus who believe will receive the manifestation. The others will be on the outside looking in, saying, oh, I wish I could have, would have, should have. But you know what? You made a choice to believe. And you said, whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Now, over in the book of Daniel, turn with me right quick. Over in the book of Daniel. You know where Daniel is? Okay. Somewhere after Ezekiel, I believe. Daniel chapter 3. Now look at this. Daniel chapter 3. Let's see. Yeah, look at verse 8. 8. Ocho. Capítulo 3, versículo 8. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, it says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. And they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in sympathy with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews, verse 12, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Now what happened here? What's let me just tell you because time's sake. What we have is a situation where there was a people who were ungodly, unrighteous, that wanted to stop the forward progress of God in the earth, of God establishing His covenant in the earth. And so there was a decree put out to these counselors, to these captive, these Jewish, these Hebrew children, Daniel and also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these that were captured and held captive against their will in this foreign country, that they were to bow down and worship the God that Nebuchadnezzar, the ungodly king, set up. They refuse to bow to the king. They refuse to bow, listen to me, to what the king set up as a god. Now this becomes important because they had a choice to make. They had a choice to abide by the law that was set forth in the land in which they lived, or was really held captive in, or the law of God.
Amen.
Does anybody remember what the law of God said? See, when we find out what God says, then we speak what God says. That's confession. The power of confession is that God, His power, begins to work on our behalf to bring the manifestation when we say what God says.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you just write it down, it says, "You shall have no other gods before you." So they said, "King, we will not bow down and worship your God." They were just saying what God said in His Word. And how many know God honors His Word?
Amen.
You see, what we're faced with is a time of ungodliness on the rise. They pass ungodly laws, unjust laws in our land. And we just, oh well. For example, when they passed a law to take all the Bibles and the prayer out of the schools, what has happened to the schools ever since they have done that? Are y'all with me? When are we going to stand up and say what God says? When are we going to stop being intimidated by what the devil says? Find out what God says, say what God says, and God will honor and back and perform His Word. We live now in a system that has become so unrighteous. You know what you have to do, parents, just to send your children to school. You know the metal detectors and the things that they have to go through, the bomb threats. Not just mentioning the fact that somebody will take a gun and go shoot other innocent children in a school, but just all the other paraphernalia, all the side effects of being passed down to the other generation, the younger ones that come along, till there is no such thing as godliness there. Well, when are we going to rise up and learn that we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth? That we have the authority of heaven to say what God says. We should not, because that's what happened here, is that when they refused to bow, the king put fear on them and said, "I'm going to throw you in the furnace." And they said, "Go ahead." They weren't absolutely sure because they didn't have a full revelation that God would deliver them or not, but they knew that they were going to say what God said. And they said, "If be not, just go ahead, throw us in there. Our God will deliver us." And He did. And you know what? When we stand up for righteousness, God will deliver us. When we stand up for righteousness in this country, God will deliver us. It's just, you know, a time when the devil knows that his day is so short that he's raising up all of his disciples to come full force against the kingdom of God. But we're living in a day, listen to me just a second, because I have prophesied this to you, and I believe this, that we are going to be as gods, not God, as gods, in this earth to become the manifestation of the sons of God in demonstration and in power. Because why? Because when we say what God says, God honors what God has said. We can't just sit back and say, well, whatever will be, que sera, sera. You know, if you notice, there are universities now, there are whole cities that want to take the Christ out of Christmas. And I'm so thankful that somebody's getting through to these people that you don't have to take that junk to be politically correct. Amen. They wanted to take and call the Christmas tree, just in Louisiana, they want to take and call it the holiday tree. But you know what? The people of God begin to rally. And they defeated that legislation, and you know what? They reinstated and said, we'll call it the Christmas tree. Same thing happened in the state of Washington. They did not want to have the decoration and the lights to be called Christmas lights. They want to be called holiday lights so that they will not offend any religion. God doesn't say don't offend any religion. He says you shall have no other God before me. And he really goes on and says you don't even allow those other names of those gods to be spoken out of your mouth. So I'm not going to say them anymore. And you know what? They defeated that city council. When are we going to learn that we are a viable force to contend with? Amen. We can control elections. We can control the politics of our land, our country. Job says, let me read one more scripture. I got to close. But I just want you to see this over in Job. Go back to Job 22 and look at this right quick. Job 22. Let me leave this with you. Look, Job 22, 28. If you found it, say, I got it. Job 22, 28. It says, you shall also, you there? You shall also declare or decree or speak a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. Who's supposed to decree? We are. That ungodly, unjust law of taking the Bible out of school should have never passed. Should have never passed in a nation that was founded on the principles of God Almighty, Jehovah God. But when we just lay back and say, oh, I go to church, hallelujah, and I just do my thing, let them do their thing, how many know the devil's going to take the thing over? So it's time that the church becomes the church. In the last days, you're going to see a distinction between those that believe and those that don't believe. You're going to see a distinction between a child of God who decrees and learns that their words contain life and they can speak and God will back it by His power, and those that just sit back nonchalant and don't care if the world goes to hell in a handbasket. You're going to see the manifestation of the sons of God in this earth. And up till now, you haven't seen it. You haven't seen very little difference between the church and the world. But the Bible says that in the last days, there will be a distinct difference. I think about Superman. You know, you don't realize that you are super men and women. But the church has been Clark Kent's. Mild-mannered, you know. Just let everything. But you know what Clark Kent did when a crisis came? You know what Clark Kent did when trouble came? He went into his phone booth. And he came out of there with a cape and with a big S on his chest. And he was able to leap tall buildings. Hey, faster than a speeding bullet! It's time we go into the closet and phone book and get the Word of God, the living Word of God, and come out of there super anointed men and women of God. It's time. It's time. Hallelujah. Stand up. It's time. Shout, it's time. It's time for the people of God to stand up and be reckoned with. Quit being Lois Lane and Clark Kent and just letting the devil run over us. Amen.